We turn now to the topic of safety, whether it's on the streets, in our homes, or in our neighborhoods. The message from the Michigan Association of Chiefs of Police is that police departments are shrinking, and we're all paying a price whether we realize it or not. Executive Director Robert Stevenson spoke with Cindy earlier this week. Stevenson is a former police chief for the city of Livonia with over 37 years of police experience.
In 2001, we see that Michigan local police agencies had about 22,488 police officers, and today that's down to 18,849. That's a 16% drop. Pretty significant, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. We've seen a big drop in the amount of police officers that are available to respond to calls for service.
And this is across the state?
Yes, it is. And it's hit some departments more than others, but I would venture to say every police department in the state is smaller today than it was 10 years ago, 12 years ago.
And why is this?
Well, it's a combination of factors. It's a reduction in revenue sharing to the city from the state, which has reduced funding. But probably the biggest hit that departments have experienced is because of the drastically reduced property tax values. And the majority of most municipal agencies' funding comes from their local taxes. So what they found is that cities have been drastically reduced in the amount of tax revenue they've got. And correspondingly, they have less money, and that comes across eventually to police departments. Because cities, unlike the state and unlike the federal government, are prohibited by the Constitution to run a deficit. So cities have to have a balanced budget. And when there's less money coming in, there has to be reductions, and typically public safety, police and fire, take up more than 50% of a city's total revenues expenditures during the year. So therefore, they're hit the hardest.
What would be an answer around that? Because certainly if I'm running a city and I'm looking at declining property tax values and foreclosures and less money coming in, I have to cut. What would be a way around this, or what would be a solution to this?
Unfortunately, the only real solution to this, especially short term, would be a millage, a special millage to make up for the revenue funding that the cities have lost. Projections are that it may take up to 20 years for the property values and the corresponding tax increases to fully recover in the state of Michigan. So therefore, we see no short-term relief in sight. As an example, if tomorrow somehow all of our property's values doubled, mm-hmm. because of the Headley and Proposition A, the most that you could raise tax revenues would be 5% or the rate of inflation. And the rate of inflation is running way less than 5%. So where your taxes can go down 50% in 1 year, they're only allowed to go back up 5%. So even if you had a 5% increase, it would take 10 years to get that 50% back. So cities, really, the only real answer to this is a millage increase, or to find ways to do your policing at a cheaper rate.
And how would that work? What are some ideas there?
one thing which departments have explored is the concept of regionalization or combining of services. So take an example of a city like Livonia, where at one point in time we had a 20-member special weapons and tactics team or emergency response team. What we've done because of the cuts in our budget is we could no longer afford to have our own team, so we joined a regionalized team. So now we have 7 members of our department that are in consortium with another group of cities, where everybody throws in a little bit of manpower and then you make up a specialized unit. Combined dispatch centers, what we're seeing is that cities are looking to combine their dispatch centers. So rather than each city have their own dispatch center, 6 or 7 or 8 more departments will get together and just have one dispatch center. And there's a corresponding reduction in the manpower costs, which, again, saves the city money.
And actually, as you talk about these streamlining ideas, Robert, with the idea of sharing expensive equipment or having a collective emergency response team, is that all bad?
No, it's not all bad. It's a way to do it more efficiently. But what we find is that typically cities want to be in control of their own police departments. And this goes to the residents. Residents want their police department. They want a police department that's fully responsible just to them. So when we see that we have these combined dispatch centers, there's usually a fair amount of opposition from the city residents, because they want to be in control of their own police department and all of their own resources. But no, it's not necessarily a bad thing, and maybe that these tough economic times are allowing cities to do things that they would never be able to do before and try different initiatives that they wouldn't have been able to do before.
If you're just joining us, we are stateside on Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty, talking with the executive director of the Michigan Association of Chiefs of Police, Robert Stevenson, about the fact that Michigan police ranks are down 16% over the past decade. Robert, what price are we paying in terms of public safety and fighting crime for this erosion in police forces? What services have been lost?
Well, one thing that's recently been in the news and noted around the state is that there's been a rather significant reduction in drunk driving arrests and traffic enforcement. Because what happens is that we will always channel what resources we've got to answer emergency runs and high-priority runs. When we have less police officers that are out on the roadways, what happens is the officers have a higher percentage of obligated time, meaning they're going from call to service to call to service. Therefore, they have less time for just that random patrol that you would see. If you live in a subdivision where you used to see a police officer just drive through just on random patrol periodically, you don't see as much of that anymore. The police officers are not available because they're just handling call for service. So there's less traffic enforcement, and contrary to public opinion, we don't write tickets to raise money. We write tickets because there is a correspondence between the amount of traffic enforcement that a police department has and the accident rate. So we no longer can go to high traffic intersections and concentrate on what causes crashes there. We're not in routine patrol looking for the drunk driver that's out there. Specialized undercover units that would maybe work inside mall parking lots looking for people that are breaking into cars or looking to rob a place of business, those units have been totally eliminated. Units have been eliminated. School resource officers have been eliminated. The primary function of a police department will always be its patrol, uniform patrol. And a lot of these cuts and the reduction of services that we've seen are in the ancillary units that we've got. Less detectives. Therefore, let's say that your vehicle was broken into, where before we may have had the luxury or the ability to come out and actually fingerprint that vehicle to investigate it. We just don't have a detective that's available for that because that detective's working on a house burglary. So they're, you know, we have to prioritize. And so that detective isn't available for some of the the quality of issue or quality of life type crimes that they could traditionally do.
What impact has all of this had on the officers?
It's difficult when you're busy from the time you get into the car to the time you leave. And when I say busy, that all of your time is obligated. It's frustrating not to be able to go to the schools. It's frustrating not to be able to stop by the businesses, to make those relationships that police officers a lot of times will have with local businesses that are out there and people within the community. And it's frustrating, you know, knowing that we can do a better job, that we can protect our citizenry better if we had more resources that are available. And it's also very frustrating as an administrator of a police department, because you know that there's things that you can do that will make your community safer, but you just don't have the resources to do it. And there's nothing that can really be done about it absent a millage or an increase in funding.
And over this contraction, this 16% contraction in the ranks of Michigan police over the 10 years, what impact has that had on crime rates? Can you track that?
Well, crime has started to trend back up again. And so we have seen that crime is up. And I do think that there's a correlation between the amount of officers that are out there, and especially the officers that can concentrate on a lot of the more serious crime and the career criminals that are out there. Because you could have one person that starts to commit some burglaries, and they might commit 10 or 15 burglaries before they're finally and hopefully would be apprehended, whereas before you might have been able to get that person after they did two or three.
What future do you think exists, Robert, for public safety? And by that I mean where one person covers police and fire duties. Is that a solution at all to this?
Well, it's interesting that you point that out, because that is one thing that a lot of cities are starting to look at, is the combination of police and fire services. And we have seen more and more interest in that, and we are seeing departments that trend that way. I think that there is some ability for cost savings there. In modern America, the amount of fires that we have, building structural fires, have come down. So we've seen major cities that have a predominantly volunteer fire department. Even the city of Troy is a predominantly volunteer fire department.
I was actually going to point that out because I used to live in Troy, and I do remember that.
And they have an excellent fire rating.
Yeah.
But part of that is that the codes, the building codes that we have now, you know, we don't have the large fires like we used to have. That's a very good point, Cindy.
Well, I kind of wonder, do police officers kind of say, well, I don't think that firefighter is going to make a very good police officer, and are the firefighters saying, I don't think that cop will make a very good firefighter?
Well, interestingly enough, there's a lot more resistance to that from the fire side.
Okay.
Than it is necessarily from the police side.
Well, it's kind of interesting, and I'm hearing that. I say that because I am the daughter of he's passed away now, but my father was a fire captain, and I do remember those sentiments being expressed around the kitchen table.
Well, as we were saying before, we're going to see if things continue like they will, and there's nothing to say that they won't economically. We're going to see that things that traditionally would never have been contemplated will come about. And part of it is that there are no other options. And where each department and each city may love to have their own individual fire department and their individual police department, it just may turn out that that's a luxury and that you can no longer do that.
Robert, we've seen, for example, in the city of Pontiac, where the county, Oakland County, has stepped in and they have taken over local policing, and also the fire department has gone away in Pontiac. But how is it working when you see the county step in and take over for a municipality? Is that a successful marriage?
It can be. It's a case-by-case situation. And police chiefs are sometimes looking over their shoulder now, wondering, is this going to happen? Is the funding going to go away? And that can be a problem. But there's many places that it's worked out, and it's worked out successfully. It's worked out good for the citizens in their public safety, and it's also worked out well for the economics of it. But again, a lot of that gets down to each individual community. I think all things being equal, would prefer to have local control over their police departments. But it all depends on how that comes in. If it's perceived that the agency that's coming in is a hostile takeover, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that can be a real-world problem that's there. So these things have to be studied very carefully, and they have to make sure that everybody's on board. What we've seen that makes it more successful is that when the sheriffs come in, they absorb or hire a lot of the personnel that's already there that's policing that community. And that's what I believe they did in Pontiac. A lot of the Pontiac officers actually joined the Oakland County Sheriff's Department.
So they started wearing the brown sheriff's uniforms.
They did, and my understanding is that it's worked out well. And, I mean, that was a community that was having tremendous economic problems at the time.
Yeah.
And they were worried how they're going to get paid.
What are your biggest concerns or worries about the future for police work in Michigan?
Well, my biggest concern still is the funding issue. And we've got something, a thunderstorm that's on the horizon, and that's the elimination of the personal property tax. If you were following what happened in the lame duck session, they quickly passed an elimination of the personal property tax.
Right.
And that has huge ramifications on some of the cities. The city that I used to come from is looking at potentially losing $7 million a year in their funding. Some other police departments, and I know Midland was highly funded from Dow Chemical, they could potentially lose up to 70% of their city's revenue, I understand, which would basically put their police department out of business. So, and we've seen this all around the state, that some cities are going to be tremendously impacted by this elimination of the personal property tax. So we're watching very closely to see, you know, what type of replacement revenue is going to be there for these cities. So that is probably the most immediate concern that I see for many police departments around the state.
And what can citizens, the people who are listening to our conversation right now, what can they take away from all of this, and what should they do?
Well, if I were a local citizen and I wasn't aware of what was going on, I would look and contact their police department or look at their city budget and see what has happened in their police department. And most police chiefs are more than willing to explain to their citizenry what's been going on. We want them to be informed. So consequently, if I were them, I would find out what's happened and see where the cuts have been. And then I would look and make a conscious effort and say, you know, do I want to fund my police department? And if we do, maybe we need to look at a special millage, because typically the contribution from each citizen is not a whole lot of money, you know, $50 a year or more to keep their police staffing levels up. And I think a lot of it is just the people aren't aware of what's been happening to their department.
What it does sound like is your hope is that people would be open to a millage, not do a knee-jerk reaction. They don't need the money.
Correct. Now, when just before I left the city of Livonia a year and a half ago, we had a successful millage campaign. And one of the things which was pointed out to the residents was it would cost them each a little less than $100 a year in the additional property tax. But the typical homeowner's property tax reduction because of the falling property values was already close to $1,000 or more. So they were actually looking for just a small percentage back. And sometimes it's just a conscious decision that you have to make is that I want to feel safe, and it's worth it to pay a little bit to have that.
And what's your biggest concern for the future safety of the public in Michigan?
Well, I think it's the same concerns that I've expressed earlier, is that if we continue to see this reduction in police officers, we are going to pay a consequence for that. Trust me, the police serve a function when they're out there on the road. Even when it appears to the local citizen that they may not be doing anything, they're out there and they're sending a message to the people that are inside the city and that are driving by, is that we are here, we are protecting, we are watching, and we're ready to respond to keep our people safe. And the less we have there, the less we can send that message.
Thanks for talking with us today on Stateside, Robert.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure to talk to you and your